Whenever you're ready.
Welcome, listeners. It's Chuck Indereeden here, and I have Cindy. Today is our Christmas special here on Shooter's Corner. It is cold out because why? It's Fairbanks, Alaska. It's Christmas time, so it's going to be cold.
Good morning, everyone.
As always, we're here in the KFAR studios in Fairbanks, Alaska. You can always listen to us live at 97.5, 660 AM every Thursday at 11, which you're probably listening to us right now anyways.
Merry Christmas.
And you can always go to kfarradio.com. Click on that big orange ball that says listen live. And then also, if you missed a show in the past, you can always go and click on the archives. So super easy, super cool. But like Cindy's already said, Merry Christmas to everybody. And I hope everybody is like enjoying their family. Maybe you got the gift that you were asking for, or maybe you just didn't get a gift at all because you were a bad, naughty person. But nonetheless, we have a special show today. We have some stuff. We have a poem for you, for Santa, and then we have some of Santa's great ideas as well of what his gifts are, maybe what Santa might carry as a concealed carry guy too. And then also we're going to talk about how Santa might be able to gain access to your house because you gave him consent. And by the way, Santa does work for the government, so therefore he doesn't need a warrant to get into your house. You just basically put out cookies and milk and gave him consent in that way. But
that is true, but I just want to bring up, I really appreciate this. Chuck and I were out running some errands, and we saw police officers that was shopping with the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Taking them out.
With a cop. Happens pretty much every year.
It was really nice to see that.
Yeah, I think that's a great way for the local law enforcement to give back to the community. Not only just the food bank stuff that they do prior to Thanksgiving, but also the Shop with a Cop thing, too. So that's an annual event. But let's get on with the show. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Also, our state of Alaska says the right to keep and bear arms, a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The individual right to keep and bear arms shall not be denied or infringed by the state or a political subdivision of the state. All right, cool. Moving on to Christmas. Here's my editorial. So, like, I always have to come up with an editorial, at least pretty much most of the time. Christmas and the Second Amendment, a timeless American tradition. As the holiday season approaches, families across America gather to celebrate Christmas with lights, feast, and the joy of giving. For many in the shooting community, this time of the year holds a special resonance with one of our nation's foundational freedoms, the Second Amendment. The right to keep and bear arms is not just a constitutional guarantee. It's woven into the fabric of American liberty, self-reliance, and yes, even our holiday traditions. Look back to colonial America. In the southern colonies, Christmas celebrations often included the festive firing of muskets and cannons, a boisterous salute to the season that echoed throughout plantations and towns. Figures like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson marked the day amid these armed revelries, reflecting a culture where firearms were tools of survival, celebration, and independence. Fast forward to today, and that spirit lives on. Firearms frequently appear under Christmas trees as thoughtful gifts, a first shotgun for a young hunter, a reliable handgun for home defense, or accessories that enhance safe, responsible ownership. The holiday season consistently ranks among the busiest for firearm sales, with December often seeing spikes in background checks as Americans exercise their rights. Gifting a gun is legal and commonplace when done responsibly through a licensed dealer, ensuring the recipient is eligible and often with training in mind. It's a profound way to pass down values of freedom and personal protection, much like heirlooms of old. Of course, responsibility is paramount. Safe storage, education, and adherence to laws ensure that these gifts bring joy, not tragedy. Organizations like the National Sports Shooting Foundation emphasize gift certificates or direct purchases to avoid any legal pitfalls, keeping the focus on empowerment and safety. In a time when some seek to erode the Second Amendment, Christmas reminds us of its enduring place in American life. It's a season of peace, goodwill, and for millions, a celebration of the freedoms that make that peace possible. Whether you're unwrapping a new optic, stocking up on ammo, or simply reflecting on our heritage, let's cherish both the holiday and the rights that define us. From all of us here at Shooter's Corner, Merry Christmas, and stay safe out there.
That was beautifully said.
Beautifully read.
Beautifully read and said.
Hey, we're poets and don't even know it.
There we go.
I know. I thought that was awesome.
And you do have a Christmas poem coming up.
Yeah. Do you want to read it?
No, go ahead. You're doing wonderful.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we have enough time, maybe. If not.
Should we start the poem? Are we going into a break?
Right. Let's do this. All right. Okay. So I wrote a Santa's Second Amendment sleigh ride, a very tactical Christmas tale. What do you think of that?
I think
I'm asking you.
You're
not
asking
like,
me. I was reading your poem. I have
Oh, you're reading ahead?
I'm reading ahead.
All right. Well, refer to your notes as I proceed to read and say.
Yes.
'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the pole. Not a creature was stirring except for some trolls. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, but Santa was loading his tactical gear. He heard through the grapevine, elf intel's the best, that anti-2A Grinches were heading out west, led by a bureaucrat named Reggie McBann, who wanted to confiscate toys for the good of the land. No more ARs for hunters, no handguns for elves. We'll melt down the sleigh bells and lock up the shelves. Reggie sneered with a clipboard, his minions in tow, marching on North Pole to steal Christmas cheers. Oh, no! But Santa, old Kris Kringle, laughed. Ho, ho, hold my eggnog. He slapped on his plate carrier, beard peeking out like a fog. Concealed under red coat, a trusty Glock 19. Reliable in the cold, no jam in the scene. The elves? Fully kitted with mini goat guns and slings. Suppressors on rifles for that silent night zing. Reindeer on overwatch, Rudolph's nose as a laser sight. Dasher and Prancer running drone countermeasures all night. Down the chimney came Reggie, all smug with his forms, but Santa was waiting. Peace through superior norms. Who's naughty? Boomed Santa, racking the slide with a clack. Reggie dropped his clipboard and yelled, I'll take it all back. No shots were fired. Santa's a responsible guy. Just a stern reminder, my rights don't expire. Bye-bye! The Grinches retreated, tails tucked in defeat, leaving Santa to deliver presents and freedom complete. So remember this Christmas as you trim the tree bright. The right to keep arms keeps the season just right. From the North Pole to your home, stay safe and stay free. Merry Christmas to all, and God bless the 2A tree. And to all a good night, unless you're on the naughty list. Then it's range time.
That was beautiful said. That will go in our Christmas book to be passed down to generations. And beautifully read. Said in red.
Said in red. What do you think of old Reggie McBann? Sounds like some government guy, doesn't it? Probably works for the ATF.
Probably.
Yeah. But Santa wasn't having any of that. And none of the 2A Grinches. But, yeah, I think it's important to know that, yeah, even Santa might have to carry a firearm. So, hey, so what are you asking for or what did you expect to get for Christmas there, Miss Cindy?
Nothing. We're going on a vacation trip.
Oh, that's perfect, because that's exactly what you got.
We 43 years of marriage, we kind of agree that we're going to go on a trip.
Yeah.
That's going to be our gift.
I think out of that amount of time that we have like spent together, because we've been like, I don't know, I can't say we were actually toddlers. We were definitely teens when we got married.
Yes, we were teens, and we didn't spend a lot of time. He was deployed during a lot of Christmases, so...
Yeah, but I think we just continually buy things throughout the year. I think a lot of, like, families do that now. Or let me just say this. Not necessarily families, but I would say, like, old... I don't want to say even say older couples. That doesn't even sound right. Like,
no, that doesn't sound
mature,
right.
Like, mature. Mature in marriage couples.
I don't use the O word.
Right? But I would say, like, we tend to, like, just buy things, like, throughout the year. We just don't, like, save it up for Christmas. But
no,
I think the biggest Christmas gift you'll get is the fact that I'm still, like, next to you.
That is.
I'm a gift.
And I'm a gift to you, too.
Just. All right. All right, we got to go into our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk about historical firearm traditions during the holiday. So stay tuned here with us on our Shooter's Corner Christmas Day special with Chuck and Cindy, and Merry Christmas. We'll be right back. Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck and Cindy for our Christmas special on Shooter's Corner here at the KFAR Studios in Fairbanks, Alaska. As always, you're probably listening to us at 97.5, and then 660 AM is also available. Remember, if you've missed any portion of the show, you can always go to the archives at kfarradio.com. Click on that Shooter's Corner with Chuck Ender Reed. Scroll down past the bio, and you'll see all the archives of our past shows. We made it super easy for you to be able to find our shows because now they actually have words and not just a number. Which I think is important, right?
It is important.
Yeah, so like our Thanksgiving one says, Thanksgiving Shooter Corner Show, not just like, I don't know, 11/27/2025.
No, we have words.
Yeah, we use words now because they're safer.
The dates.
Yeah, the numbers, which are scary. Okay. All right, so we're going to get into the show and back to historical firearm traditions during the holidays. Because this country does have a lot of traditions, at least for now.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of families have traditions. I know right one now. Of, like, was ours was like making, what, candy or something like that with the
I remember grandkids. Growing up, we would, we'd always go out pheasant shooting and pheasant hunting with dad and stuff.
Hunting.
Yes.
Yeah. That was kind of a deal.
And Christmas time, he'd take the kids out and all of us
go sledding.
We'd go sledding and snowmobiling. They call it something different here.
Snow machining. In Idaho, we call it snowmobiling.
Yes.
Yeah.
And go to the range and shoot when we were kids.
Did you really?
Yeah. Whoever got their new firearm that year for Christmas, shotgun.
Oh, that's cool. That's also important.
That is important.
Let's talk about, like, all the way back to, like, the Pilgrims, though.
Thanksgiving Day.
But not Thanksgiving Day. This is more tied to what they would do during Christmas, like on Christmas Eve and stuff.
Okay.
So, probably not totally applicable to today's society, where people would lose their mind. And, oh, by the way, I don't think the Pilgrims really cared too much about gravity, because they didn't have the population density as well. So, shooting guns in the air back then, probably not too big of a deal. Probably fell, like, safely in a forest, you know, maybe didn't hit a lot. But nowadays in dense population areas, probably not a good thing. So, throughout history, particularly in early America, firearms played a surprising role in holiday celebrations, blending noise-making customs with festive joy. One of the most notable traditions was shooting in Christmas, a boisterous practice where people fired guns to welcome the holiday season. In the 18th century American colonies, Christmas celebrations varied by region. In Puritan New England, the holiday was often downplayed or even banned due to its perceived pagan roots. Believe that? They thought it was evil because they were shooting to basically scare away evil spirits. And of course, the Puritans, who were very religious, were like buying into that. So, in Puritan New England, the holiday was often downplayed or even banned. Oh, I did read that. All right. So, however...
Do you need some more coffee or smart water?
No, I'm drinking this Canadian energy drink called Celsius.
Yeah, we're not
advertising. If it was made in America, it would be called Fahrenheit.
Yeah. We're not advertising.
We're not sponsored by Celsius in any stretch of the imagination. All right, back to our regular programming. All right. However, in the southern colonies, especially Anglican Virginia, Christmas was marked with revelry, including the firing of muskets, cannons, and fireworks.
Now that sounds fun.
Fireworks any time of the year is fun.
Yeah, true.
I don't care. Men and boys would discharge firearms and salutes, creating loud volleys to announce the arrival of Christmas Day or Eve. This Christmas guns tradition echoed through plantations and towns, serving as a joyful if noisy proclamation of the season. Historical accounts from Virginia describe waking to gunfire on Christmas morning, a custom that startled visitors from quieter regions. Yeah. Sounds like present-day Chicago.
Christmas morning in Chicago.
Yeah. Reenactments today, such as Colonial Williamsburg, preserve this by firing muskets on Christmas Eve. though modern safety laws prevent authentic midnight barrages. Yeah, I could see that. And they probably don't put like a projectile in there either.
No.
I just blank fire, I would reasonably assume. So this noise making had roots in European customs of warding off evil spirits or awakening nature during winter. But in America, it tied into the widespread ownership of firearms for hunting, defense, and militia duties. In the 19th century, they also had Christmas and New Year's. By the mid-1800s, the tradition evolved and intensified. Rural and urban Americans alike shot in Christmas and New Year's with guns. I think kind of like up here. We don't do like fireworks too much in July 4th in Fairbanks because why? You can't see the fireworks. It's light. The only thing you're going to have is noise.
And forest fires.
Yeah, that's true too. Like there's always a burn ban going on in July because, I don't know, or we're surrounded by smoke or in smoke. But nonetheless, New Year's is the big deal up here though because like it's dark then, like pretty much the entire time.
It is.
But nonetheless, Americans shot in Christmas and New Year's with guns, homemade fireworks, rockets,
and
firecrackers. Right? I think rockets would be cool. Like, I grew up with like, you ever build like an Estes rocket? Did any of your brothers ever have those Estes rockets? Those things are so
My cool. brothers had them.
Yeah.
And they used to, yeah, they used to play with the firecrackers a lot.
Yeah, well. I
remember Dad's business caught on fire, and he had ordered all these firecrackers, and they were
that wasn't Ichabod's, was it?
No, that was his copy and print business.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
They got the fire out before those all went off. He was a little scared. He had ordered them for Christmas.
So get this. Yeah. Even back then in the 19th century, groups roamed farms or streets firing volleys outside homes. That sounds scary. Like, can you imagine that nowadays? Well, back to Chicago. That's still happening. Or maybe Dearborn, Michigan. In cities like Pittsburgh, reports describe chaotic scenes with pistols and explosives alarming residents. Yeah, I bet so.
I'd go
Especially if they move
the
from, well, yeah. Nowadays that would alert everybody that moved from California into Texas. Over time, as urbanization grew and noise ordinances emerged, this rowdy gunfire largely shifted to New Year's Eve and eventually to modern fireworks displays on July 4th and December 31st. Yeah, I mean, we kind of had to probably reel in this whole rowdy group thing, walking along streets and shooting guns and stuff because, I don't know, gravity is a thing.
And you love your wife and you don't want to lose her to a celebration.
Right.
Well, hopefully you don't.
We don't want a projectile coming in and banging into your head.
Yeah.
So... there was also some global parallels as well in modern day. Similar shooting traditions existed elsewhere, such as in parts of Germany. So Berchtesgaden shooters used hand cannons, right? Remember going to Berchtesgaden's when we were stationed in Germany?
Yes.
Garmisch, Partenkirchen, Berchtesgaden's all down in southern Bavaria.
Beautiful area.
Holy cow, that is so beautiful down there.
It's gorgeous.
Like the German Alps and stuff tied in right there. We stay down there in Garmisch. Man, that's a gorgeous area. Or in Wassailing in England. Did I say that right? In England.
Wassailing.
I bet if Teresa was here, she would tell me because she like went to England once time with her, left her Razor phone at home. I remember her talking about that one time. Anyways, occasionally involving gunfire to scare spirits. And that's why the Puritans didn't like that, right? Because Jesus kept their spirits away. Not the guns. In America, while direct holiday shooting has faded for safety reasons, apparently, it lives on in controlled reenactments and the cultural memory of a time when firearms were central to both survival and celebration. These historical practices highlight how holidays adapt. What was once a thunderous salute is now quieter, but the spirit of marking special occasions endures. What are some of the ways that we mark special occasions now, such as Christmas? I'll say people put Christmas lights outside their house, right?
They do decorations. Some get these blow-up decorations. They're a little hideous. But yeah, they put a lot of decorations out there.
The ones they buy at Lowe's and Home Depot. Yeah. The blow-up decorations there.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty cool. Until they get like a snow and then like crushes it down.
Can you imagine having the blow up decoration in your yard and somebody's out there firing, celebrating back in the 19th century?
And then you wonder why it's all deflated and stuff because it's like riddled with holes.
I know the
kids
had.
Gravity is not your friend.
The kids had a big pirate Halloween one out in their yard. Our kids did.
Oh, yeah, that's Halloween. True. But it didn't snow in Halloween. It rained.
I wanted to go shoot that blow up.
Holy cow, you're like these rabble rousers that were running around back in the 19th century and stuff, like shooting at stuff.
I wouldn't have done that. It's in a neighborhood. But
yeah.
Pop.
Remember firearm safety rule number 4. Be sure of the target, as well as the surroundings and beyond. There's backstop issues there, Cindy, you'd have to be concerned about.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I thought that was interesting that even back in the 18th, 1900s and stuff like that, and the early pilgrims had celebratory gunfire to ring in Christmas stuff. You know, because they probably didn't have a lot of, like, alarms and stuff back then. Like, oh, it's Christmas. Like, anybody, hey, Mary, did you put that on the calendar? No, but there'll be gunfire to let us know it's Christmas, right?
Well, do you remember they had the big, well, they have all the blow ups, but they had the hard plastic Christmas. Santa's. Claus and everybody would.
It had like a 60 watt incandescent bulb inside it.
Yeah. Sucked up a lot of energy.
Anyways, we got to go into our mandatory break. But when we come back, we're going to continue on our conversation. We're going to talk about the great debate of whether, what would be Santa's ideal carry gun? So stay tuned with us here at Chuck and Cindy on Shooter's Corner. This is our Christmas Day special. When we return, we're going to talk about what Santa's ideal carry gun would have been. So stay tuned. We'll be right back here at 97.5, 660 AM. Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck and Cindy for our Shooter's Corner Christmas Day special. You can move that mic away from your forehead. We ended up moving the mic away from Cindy's paper because she's rattling it around and stuff like that. But she's opening presents. That's what she's doing. That's what you're hearing is a Christmas wrapping coming off of her present and stuff.
Yes.
That I did not give her because she gets them throughout the year. Anyways, thank you for joining us here at our Christmas Day special here at Shooter's Corner in the great studios here in Fairbanks, Alaska, where Merry Christmas.
Sometime we should do this live in here. I think our listeners would really get a kick out of all of us here.
We could do it like a live from our home. That would be even more hilarious with the doodles too. We'd have the doodles in there. But nonetheless, what we're going to talk about is a great debate. So what is Santa's ideal carry gun, right? So if Santa Claus is, well, it says if Santa Claus is Pro 2A.
Pro 2A.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. Anywho, he is.
An attack tactical
because he brings
theme.
Billy and Sally, like the... You know, the little gun that they wanted, like a Red Ryder BB gun.
There we go.
And you make sure
maybe
you don't
a
shoot
pink
your...
Ryder BB gun.
Yeah, make sure you don't shoot your eye out. I think there was a movie about that one time.
We saw a lot of patients that had BBs in their jaw.
Really?
From kids, yeah.
Hmm. Well, that'd probably be me when I was growing up because I was of the genre where we would actually play like cops and robbers, or even back then it was
cowboys and Indians.
Yeah, which isn't politically correct nowadays, obviously, but we had a one pump rule on our Crossman BB gun.
And what
and
was that?
It was at that time, well, you couldn't pump it more than one time, but we would shoot at each other with our BB guns. Yeah, that was the original G.I. Joes back then. It was also when you learned that there was like iPro is important, but we didn't realize that then because we were like, you know, 10, 11, 12, whatever. But that was also my first lesson in the incoming fire has a right of way. So if you stuck your head over the top of the log and you caught a BB in your forehead, then you had to go home because mom had to squeeze it out like a pimple, right? So we always have that. And then there's always some rude guy that just walks in while you're doing a live recording. So you can't help that at all. And just doesn't get it. But nonetheless, we have Santa doing his great debate, right? And his tactical meme world, obviously. And we've seen videos and pictures like that on the internet. But while he's delivering his presents across the globe, one night, billions of stops, sketchy rooftops, polar bears at home, and the occasional Grinch-level threat. He needs something reliable in extreme cold, easy to conceal under that big red coat, high capacity for naughty list contingencies, and tough enough for for chimney crawls. No malfunctions on Christmas Eve. So we understand that Santa needs to have something that's incredibly reliable, right? So the gun community has debated this for years. Yes, really. Articles from the firearm blogs and forums go deep. So here's the showdown of top contenders. Glock 19, number one.
My favorite.
Yeah, pretty much. Or any 9mm Glock, for that matter.
Yes.
The reliable professional pros. Santa's a pro who visits every climate in neighborhood. Glocks work in Arctic cold, don't jam in soot-filled chimneys, and the big coat hides printing easily. Also has a high capacity, 15-plus rounds, right? For multiple threats, lightweight, and no external safety to fumble with mittens on. Although I would have to say that you have to use a trigger finger mitten.
And that...
kind of like the Arctic mittens that we used to have in the military as well.
Did it have a...
It had a trigger finger, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you could like pull your trigger finger back and put it with the rest of the other, you know, three fingers or whatever, like to help warm it up. But yeah, there's a, such a thing as a trigger finger mitten.
I must look at that. Look that up.
So as one expert put it, Santa's a professional. He carries a Glock. It must have been the Glock marketing team that said that. Because I could probably say that Santa could carry a...
Smith & Wesson.
Yeah, carry a Smith & Wesson M&P. He could carry a Springfield Arms. He could carry maybe a SIG. Probably not necessarily a SIG 320, but you know the reindeer and not like that. But nonetheless.
It might shoot the reindeer.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have been Santa shooting the reindeer.
Uncommanded discharge. But anyways, cons for this, right, are polymer might feel a little too modern for a timeless elf, such as Santa is, like a big elf. Whereas, so where's that classic holiday vibe, right? So... perfect for everyday carry on the sleigh route. That's the bottom line on that one. So that would be number one. I would say maybe the second choice would be what? What do you think?
The 1911.
Oh, timeless, right?
Mm-hmm.
Always been a classic ever since, like John Browning designed that and manufactured that, right? So probably would be carrying maybe a Commander or a full-size. Classic gentleman gun.
Why did they call that the classic gentleman gun?
Just because it's always been around, it's kind of like, even with Jeff Cooper kind of modernized it and made it like, you know, God's caliber, if you will.
But it says classic gentleman. What about one for...
well, because the other one was the reliable professional.
A beautiful ladies. Maybe we need something labeled for a lady.
It is thin. Slender. But the classic gentleman's gun. Right?
Okay.
So some of the pros of it, or it's a timeless American icon. I would agree with that. 45 ACP stopping power for polar threats or urban elves gone bad.
Okay.
Comfortable, accurate, and Santa's eccentric. He might wield two of them. So dual wield stainless models with fancy grips. Maybe put some ivory on there.
There you go.
Maybe like Patton did with his guns, right? Probably has a leather holster, fits the old school North Pole aesthetic, right? Because we know that God gave us cows for two reasons, right?
Yep.
To eat them and to make holsters out of them.
Not but nylons. I would say,
and maybe the elves couldn't like maybe manufacture a good Kydex holster, but they could sew together a leather one. So some of the cons of it obviously would be heavier. Definitely weighs a lot more than, especially when fully loaded, weighs a lot more than a Glock 19 would.
True.
Lower capacity. So maybe an 8-round magazine with one in the magazine or one in the chamber, right? Single action might require more attention in the frenzy of gift dropping. Also remember that you have to carry that gun, or the way it's designed to be carried is with what? A round in the chamber, fully loaded, right? And the safety on with the hammer cocked because it is a single action. So it might be difficult for Santa to take this gun off of safe with mittens on.
Plus, you know, he's picking the bag of toys up, jumping down the chimney.
The what?
Chimney.
The chimney.
Yeah, sliding down the chimney, not jumping into it.
So, perfect for a jolly old soul who appreciates craftsmanship, right? So, I think that's a great idea. Maybe another gun that he might carry would be the classic American gun, the AR-15. Or a modern-day rifle, right?
AR-15's nice.
Yeah, so maybe a little bit of a tactical overkill. So remember, the other one was a professional, the classic gentleman, and now the tactical overkill. So some of the pros, high capacity, modular, and perfect for defending the sleigh from reindeer poachers. or anti-American Christmas forces. Yeah, so anti-Christmas forces. Suppressed for Silent Night entries. That'd be super cool. Although you could probably, you can definitely suppress a Glock 19 too. Put a freaking screw barrel on there and then screw the suppressor on there. So yeah, you could do the same thing there. But let's see. Hard to suppressed. And oh, also, he can sling it over his back so you can have it on body carry as well. He probably has it in some type of electrolock though if he's carrying it in his sleigh so it doesn't fall out. Because you never know, it might be turbulence.
True.
Because he's not necessarily doing an on-body carry. But some of the cons might be hard to conceal, even under that coat, and overkill for most rooftop drops. Plus, try explaining that to airport security on test runs. I don't think Santa really cares about airport security. I don't think he's going through airport security at all.
No, he's not. He's
yeah, so it's perfect, perfect for the War on Christmas fighter, right?
The Grinch.
Yeah, the Grinch. And last but not least would be the Remington 870 or shotgun, right? So this would be the home or the sleigh defender. Pros, devastating close range power for chimney breaches or warding off wolves. No NFA hassles with shorter models, and Buckshot says ho, ho, ho to the intruders. Some of the cons might be bulky for concealed carry. Recoil in the cold might jingle that belly too much. Perfect for homes without chimneys, right? And then last, a revolver, right? So shotgun wasn't just the last, but maybe a revolver, right? So a big bore 44 or a 357, traditionalist, super reliable in freezing temps, no mag issues, simple, and it fits the Frontier Santa vibe. Handles bears or bad guys in rural delivery areas. Cons, obviously, kind of like the 1911. Low capacity, slower reloads when elves are waiting. And perfect for old school reliability, right? So I think that's going to take us into our last break. And when we come back, we're going to continue on just with the verdict from the community about Santa's carry. And then we're going to talk about elf defense weapons. And then also, how does even Santa get into your house without getting lit up? So stay tuned with us here in Chuck and Cindy at Shooter's Corner for our Christmas Day special, 97.5, 660 AM. We'll be right back after this break. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're here with Chuck and Cindy at Shooter's Corner, and we're continuing on with our Christmas Day special. We just finished up with, like, what Santa might be carrying as far as defensive systems like guns and stuff, and I think the top one was Glock. I mean, kind of the verdict from the community is Glock edges out as the practical choice. We already figured out that it's reliable, concealable, and foolproof. Doesn't have a safety he has to worry about, like the 1911 with the trigger finger mittens. Stuff, but I think Santa, being the American person he is, like probably would carry around an AR because that is like America's gun, if you will. But nonetheless, besides, tactical Santa just sounds fun.
It does sound good.
Yeah. Especially with tactical reindeer.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So what would the elves maybe carry? All right. So in the high-stakes world of tactical Santa operations, the elves aren't just toy makers. They're the frontline defense against Grinches. Rogue reindeer and workshop intruders. Small stature means big creativity when it comes to self-defense. Here's a fun rundown of the ideal elf carry options. Scaled for pointy ear operators, right?
Pointy ears.
Right? So miniature AR-15 or AK goat style guns or goat guns, right? High capacity for suppressing fire during toy assembly rushes. Modular for candy cane attachments. Get a Scooby snack on the way.
There you go.
And perfect for elf-sized hands. Some of the cons might be need a sling to avoid tripping over curly shoes and the gold standard and tactical elf on the shelf setups. So parents, if you're running that elf on the shelf, you got to get like a G.I. Joe AR as well. I don't know. Might be a little late because Christmas is already here. But
yeah. Elf on the shelf.
Elf on the shelf with an AR. Tactical elf. All right. Maybe a pistol or a handgun concealable in striped stockings or under hats. Quick draw for naughty list enforcement and reliable in those freezing temperatures. Some of the cons might be.
Recoil could launch.
You going to finish reading it?
Oh, well.
Yeah, recoil can launch an elf across the room. Right? So they fire that gun. So, elf takes off,
yeah, I could see that elf flying across the room.
Yeah, for every action, there's the equal and opposite reaction.
I can see the older brother
kind of
throwing his little brother across the room. We're teaching our kids good habits.
Yeah, so it might be ideal for close quarters chimney defense, right?
Yeah.
Let's see, camo and convert ops gear, right? Blends in the wall, wrapping paper piles, Christmas trees for stealth. Bells on the hat ruin noise discipline, though. So they got to make sure that they take all the bells off their hats and stuff. So if they're hiding in the wrapping paper or hiding in the Christmas tree, they got to make sure the bells come off of their shoes and off of their hats so they don't actually reveal their position. Shotgun or heavy hitters, right? So kind of like Santa, but hey, here's the thing. Like, we already figured out that recoil is not good for elves.
Yes.
Because it's going to launch them across the room. So I couldn't imagine them being with a shotgun or
anything. Yeah, setting a bat.
Yeah. So devastating at toy bench distances, perfect for warding off sibling spies, right? However, overkill for most elf encounters. So when you absolutely need to clear a naughty room, maybe a shotgun might be a
might
choice.
Be it.
Might be the choice. But in the 2A North Pole, elves train hard. They're reliable, scaled-down tools for maximum jolly protection. So what would be your pick for an elf EDC or everyday carry? So you got to remember, on Christmas, stay frosty and festive. All right, so let's talk a little bit about how Santa can actually gain entrance to your home and not need, like, permission, right? What do you think, Cindy? Have you ever had Santa enter your home?
Down the chimney. Down the chimney.
What if you have a pellet stove?
I don't know.
Right? Okay. Ah, oh, the old age.
He'd be coming through the front door.
I think that's what they say nowadays, right? Like, he has a magical key or something like that, like a lockpick or something. Santa doesn't just breach it with explosive charges. Oh, the age-old 2A Christmas dilemma. Some jolly fat guy in a red suit slides down your chimney at midnight. Sounds like textbook home invasion. But in the pro-Second Amendment world, we've got theories on how tactical Santa pulls it off without eating a face full of buckshot. Theory number one, Santa's got magic clearance, but prefers the 2A way. Santa doesn't need a warrant. He's got cookies as consent.
There you go.
Leave out milk and cookies? That's implied invitation to enter. No forced entry, no castle doctrine trigger. But real talk, if you're stacked up with the broomstick waiting for intruders, Santa's elves probably ran recon and skipped your house. You're on the naughty list for life.
Is that why Santa didn't come to our house when I was a kid? No, he came. I would get a baby doll.
Would you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool. Maybe. Did your brothers pull the head off of it?
No.
They didn't?
No. I got baby dolls. My brothers weren't mean like you were.
No. You just implied, maybe I just implied that I was that way, but you just assumed that I was that way. All right, so theory number two, moving on. Pro 2A homes leave the chimney clear. Responsible gun owners know Santa's coming, so they secure doors, windows, but leave the flue open. It's kind of like a gun-free zone, exception for the big guy. Plus, tactical Santa suppress silent night entries only. No racking the shotgun to scare him off. Okay. So theory number three, Santa's the ultimate good guy with a gun. If things go south, Santa's armed too. He defends against Grinches year-round. A standoff turns into eggnog in range stories. Nice Mossberg. Try my North Pole custom.
Yeah. The Mossberg.
Maybe. So the bottom line is, hang your stockings, leave the cookies, and maybe post a Santa welcome, all others beware sign. That way, the Second Amendment protects your home. And Santa still shows up loaded with presents. Merry Christmas. I don't know, Cindy. Constantly over there unwrapping gifts and stuff like that. Like, you're literally over there laughing so hard. Like, I love this. I love having you here and stuff like that. But I'd really like to say thank you to everybody, besides the fact of Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
But everybody who's allowed C4 to train your family and trained you to be responsible alarm citizens, stuff in this pro 2A state that we definitely live
Even when we do Stop the Bleed classes, it's just amazing how many people we can touch and work with. And it's – we just want to thank you.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. So, anyways, what What else did you get for Christmas besides a doodle?
The two golden doodles. Well, it's not what I got for Christmas. It's what you and I do for others and what we donate to help others that aren't as fortunate. That means so much more. We have a lot of widows or young mothers with children that aren't as fortunate to go get a pedicure or manicure. Taking them out to do something special like that for someone means a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to go buy somebody a gun, but.
Is that any more practical than buying somebody like a PS5?
Well.
Let's take you out and get your nails done. It makes them feel good for a little while, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it gives them a break from the rodents running around.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get that. But yeah. You do you, boo.
Yep.
Yeah. But maybe something practical like a gift card for GVEA or something like that.
Yeah. That's nice to pay electric bill.
Or fuel.
A fuel bill. Oh, that fuel bill was horrible.
And we only had like, you know, a couple hundred gallons put in.
That was our Christmas gift.
Right to ourselves.
I didn't realize fuel jumped up or all the taxes, $4 a gallon.
Yeah. Meat for heat.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, cool. Let's see. Did we forget anything about Mr. Santa Claus? No, but just remember.
No, but we also have
Santa's a cool dude.
We also have a lot of people and a lot of friends out there that are Jewish and celebrate Hanukkah, and we want to wish them a happy Hanukkah, too.
Oh, yeah. The Christmas that doesn't stop giving. How many days are there?
I think it's 7.
Yeah, I remember off the top of my head, but yeah. That's super cool, too. Oh, I got to say this, though, just as a filler, because we still have a little bit of time. Remember when we lived in Germany, though? Kind of the tradition over there was to do what for the kids? Do you remember?
Chris Kringle.
Yeah, but what did they do instead of...
They'd put their shoe outside their front door.
There you go. Put their shoes outside the front door, and then they would get like...
If they were good, they got candy. It was coal or...
If they were bad, they got coal inside their shoe.
Shoe, yeah. And they have cotton. That was, I think, cotton to keep their hands warm or something like that. I'd have to pull that up.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I just remember putting candy in Chris's shoe or something like that or something good. Like, we never put coal in Chris's shoes.
No.
But... Even though he probably deserved it.
He did deserve coal a few times. So did you when you were a kid.
Yeah, so did I when I was an adult.
Yeah.
So nothing's changed there. I'm just a
6-year-old kid. I think everybody deserves a little bit of coal once in a while. Reality check. But we just do want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, and all the other stuff.
Yep.
Whatever suits your fancy. Just be safe.
Just be safe.
That's probably the biggest thing, so... All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us here with our Christmas special at Shooter's Corner with Chuck and Cindy. We really appreciate all of our listeners, and we'll like roll right in here with 2026. Oh, also remember that starts off with NFA stuff. But anyways, yeah, super cool. Everybody, have a Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
There you go. Bye bye.